The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from the WGBB studios in Merritt, New York, this is Sports Talk New York.
From the crossroads of Merrick Avenue and Sunrise Highway in Merrick, Long Island, New York, this is Sports Talk New York. I'm your host, Mike Guidone, along with my co-host, the man we call Cap, Chris Caputo. And it's March Madness time, and we have a full slate tonight of basketball. Later on in the second half hour, we're going to be joined by Coach James Jones of Yale University. They got a bid today in their conference with an amazing last-second unbelievable finish. And shortly we're going to bring on another guest, but I just would like to say good evening to my co-host, the man we call Cap, Chris Caputo. How you doing, Cap?
Hey, Mike, this is so exciting. I'm really excited for March Madness, and it's been fun trying to get some guests on, and I think we're going to have a fun night. We can chat about the tournament in the past and the future, and we're going to be here in Brooklyn. We'll be in the area, so I'm sure some people will be looking out for some upsets this year.
Absolutely, and to start us off, we're joined by our first Long Island connection. It's Coach Will Brown. He's currently the coach at St. Rose, College of St. Rose, the women's team, former Albany head coach, and we welcome him to the program. Will, how you doing? Chris and Mike, how's everything going tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. We really thank you for jumping on tonight. And I'm sure you don't know this, but, however, you and I go back a long way. In 1995, 1996, your first year at St. Rose, I was an assistant coach at New York Institute of Technology, and we played two back-and-forth 105-96 type games. Garth Joseph was on your team at that time. Remember Garth Vader? Yeah, and we never forget him. And it was a lot of fun playing you at that point. And of course, you know, many congratulations for everything that you went on to do.
Well, I appreciate that. So you worked for Frank Morris?
I worked for Frank Morris, and you worked for the legendary Brian Brewery.
Absolutely, I never forget a game at that gym.
If you can call it a gym, right?
Rubber floor.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
And I believe you had a kid from Sweden, if I'm not mistaken. Is it Dave Bergstrom, if my mind serves me right?
That was actually the year before, and then Dave left, and then we kind of put together a team of interesting guys. We had a guy, Bobby Cunningham, who went on to play professionally.
Oh, yeah, Bobby was terrific. Bobby,
yeah. For Bobby, a layup was about a 25-footer. So, but I remember that game, and of course, you know, the many times going up to St. Rose. But you guys were just a tough out all the time, and those games were fun, despite the fact that we had to play on a rubber floor. Exactly.
Well, the reason I bring it up with Dave Bergstrom is I'll never forget 2 minutes into the game. He shot faked and passed it, and Frank Morris sent somebody to the scorer's table, subbed him out because he didn't get a shot up within 7 seconds. He shot faked, and he kicked it to an open guy. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, it must be fun playing for him. You know, you get taken out if you don't shoot.
Yeah, it's amazing because, you know what, I watched film from that year, and, you know, I was young like you were at that time. And the one thing we always used to say about Frank was that his alphabet was very interesting. It went A, B, C, and then it went to E. We played no D. There was no D in the Frank. And what's the first thing he puts me in charge my first day? The defense. So I knew that day. I said, well, I'm not going to have a lot of input on this team, but I was just happy to be there. But yeah, that was Frank. He wanted to go up and down and, just, you know, shoot within 7 seconds. He was kind of the Paul Westhead of those days in the college before, you know, while Paul was in the, Coach Paul was in the NBA, but yeah, we kind of went after that. But you guys were always, you know, so well coached, and we're going to get into it in a minute. You know, unfortunately, what's going on with St. Rose, and but you know, amazing things you've done this year. We're just happy to have you on, and you know, welcome back, at least from a standpoint of the radio, back to Long Island.
Well, I appreciate it, and you know, I'm a Suffolk County guy, and you know, I try to get back as much as I can. I really miss the food. I don't miss the traffic.
Well, that's right, Chris. What did you promise, Coach?
Yeah, you got the sausage, egg, and cheese. You know, or bacon, egg, and cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup. That's the next time.
No doubt. Well, little bacon, egg, and cheese, a little chicken cutlet, a couple slices of pizza. I'll be a happy man.
The boar's head, we got you.
So, all right. You got to send me the boar's head, please.
I know.
Absolutely.
I lived up in that area for a while and, you know, got to see some of your games, watch some Siena games. And, you know, right now, Coach, you're back at St. Rose where you were an assistant. And this year you took over the women's program at St. Rose. And you made the NCAA this year, preseason pick to finish 11th in the NE10. Your team comes out top in the top defense in the nation in three different categories, including points scored and things like that. It ends this past weekend with a loss in the NCAA tournament. And I saw a little clip of you saying you weren't going to get emotional, and then you did. You had 14 girls that you now need to find a spot for. Talk a little bit about this process, how you took over the team, how you got them to kind of gel this year, and then your role changes when St. Rose tells you the day before a game that the school is shutting down.
I'll try to give you the quick version. I was sitting in a gym in May watching my older son coach my younger son in an AAU tournament, and the AD at St. Rose, Lori Ankel, walks in the gym. Her daughter was playing the next game, and we started talking, and I said, hey, commencement's over. You get a chance to relax. And she's like, my woman's coach just resigned. And I'm like, oh, the timing of that is terrible. She goes, tell me about it. And she said, will you take the job? And I looked at her, and I laughed. That was my initial reaction. And she's like, that wasn't the response I was hoping for. I said, Lori, I didn't think you were serious. I said, and number two, nobody's ever asked me to coach women's basketball before, so it's something I've never done. So I sat on it for about 4 weeks, and I decided to do it. So I basically started July 1, and I honored all of the commitments from the recruiting class that the previous coach had brought in, and she had signed five freshmen. And in college basketball, five high school kids, and in college basketball, it's not good to be young nowadays. Get old, stay old in the world of the transfer portal and NIL and all that stuff. So I was able to add three players very late in the game in the summertime. All three ended up being our leading scorers. But when I took the job, I had no idea that the school was struggling as much as it was. And so we went in and we were trying to build this thing. I mean, the program hadn't had a winning season in 10 plus years, hadn't been to the NCAA tournament in 14, and just trying to get these kids to believe. And once I had a chance to see them live, I'm like, well, here's going to be our formula for success. We're going to have to play with tremendous toughness. We're going to have to defend. We're going to have to rebound, and we're going to have to be more prepared than everyone we play, and we'll find ways to score. And, you know, the kids really embraced everything, you know, I asked them to do. And, you know, we get into a couple of games into the season, and my good friend Brian Bury comes up to my office, and, you know, we're talking, and he's like, hey, you here? And I'm like, no, I didn't hear. He goes, yeah, the school's closing. Cool. And so a couple hours later, there's a release put out, and here I am with 14 players that, you know, their world is rocked. There's no manual for this. I mean, there's no, hey, this is what you do when the school closes during the school year or when they make an announcement. So, you know, really had to get the kids together. Convinced them everything was going to be okay, and, you know, told them, let's control the narrative. Let's do something special. I'm going to take care of all of you. If you have questions, let's process this for 24 hours. We'll get back together the next day. You ask me all the questions you have. If I don't have answers, for you, I'll get answers for you. And, it's been a crazy ride. You know, we just started winning games, playing for each other, playing for the school. It was like a team that was on a mission. You know, we had players being recruited in the handshake lines. We had players being recruited throughout the season. Our last couple of games, we had coaches, college coaches in the stands evaluating our players while we're still playing. And, you know, as you mentioned, we ended up leading the nation in team defense, scoring defense, field goal percentage defense. We won 20-plus games with a number three seed in the East Region, number three seed in the NCAA tournament. So it was a special year, an emotional year for everyone involved. And, you know, you mentioned that press conference. You know, it really, it just hit me. all at once that, you know, these kids gave me more than I could ever give them. The adversity that they dealt with, how they handled the situation, you know, with class and with pride. And, when we got beat in the NCAA tournament, you talk about a distraught team, a team that was absolutely devastated and crushed. You know, they genuinely believed that we would advance out of that region and have a chance to compete for a national championship. I think that's how motivated, you know, they were and how strong their belief was. And they're all going to be better off for this, you know. Tough people deal with tough times, and we stared adversity in the face, and we just kept punching it. And like I said, these kids deserve an awful lot of credit. Now it's my job to make sure that every one of them has a place to go, and that's what I'm working on right now. I'm meeting with every player for 15 to 20 minutes tomorrow, and we're going to find out exactly what their goals are, what their plans are, where they're willing to go geographically, what levels they're looking to play at. And, you know, I guess it's my job to make it happen, and that's what I'm going to do.
A little different than finishing up with the semi-pro men's team a year before that, right?
Yeah, you know, a lot different. You know, but I'll tell you what, having spent 20 years at the University of Albany, and prior to that, the years coaching junior college and at the College of St. Rose, you know, it's all about growth and development. When I transitioned to the Albany Patroons, a different game, different type of players, different mindset. Again, it allowed me to grow and develop. And, you know, this year was really special. Different personalities, different type of game, different rules. So, you know, I think the minute that, I lose interest in growing and developing and continuing to evolve as a coach is, that's when I need to put the whistle away. So, I really embraced this opportunity, and I'm better off for it without question.
Well, Coach, we certainly can't compliment you enough and congratulate you on the year that you had dealing with everything. You know, just quickly, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, I was the head coach, women's coach at Molloy College, and we would play St. Rose. They were one or two in the nation at that time. And when I found out and heard the news that the school was closing, I couldn't believe it. But then, you know, obviously having you in charge with your background and your experience, obviously I think the heavens were at work there, because to have someone like you be able to work in that situation, get these kids to where they need to be, I mean, anybody with little or no experience would have been completely overwhelmed. So what you're doing right now for those players cannot be overstated, and well done.
Well, I really appreciate that. The place means a lot to me. It's where I got my start in coaching. It's where I met my wife. And the area has been home to me for a while, and the relationship that I have with Brian Beery, who basically, started his college playing career there at 18 years old and basically never left. You know, so there's a lot of people around me that the place means an awful lot to. And as I already mentioned, it's a big part of who I am today. So, I'm extremely happy and fortunate to have had this opportunity, you know, this past year. I'm just, you know, sorry that it had to come to an end this past Friday in the NCAA tournament when it did.
Again, we're talking with Will Brown, former UAlbany coach and current coach at St. Rose for the women. Will, you were with Albany from 2002 to 2021, including a transition to Division I, and you got the school into five NCAA tournament appearances. What's it like on a night like tonight, when after the brackets are announced? What kind of things are you guys working on? Scouting, travel plans, getting teams to believe that you can beat a 16 seed. You know, you guys eventually, your first time through, you were down one at the half to Connecticut and up by 12 with 11 minutes to go. Like, how do you get yourself from Sunday night to that day?
I'll tell you what, it's a whirlwind. You know you're in because you won your conference tournament. Now it's a matter of, what's your seed? Who are you playing? What bracket? What location? And, you know, your director of basketball operations is ready to jump on all the travel plans. You have to know your bracket. Who has the scout? All right, you win. Who's got the next round? What teams are in our bracket? What film do we need to break down? And then, you know, more often than not, when you're coming out of the America East Conference, you're not getting the best seed, so you're going to play a Power 5 school more often than not, you know, a 1, 2, or 3 seed. So you're going to play one of the big boys, so that's when the belief has to come in. And I think that's one of the best things we were able to do the year that you just mentioned when we played UConn, who's the number one overall seed in the tournament. They had led the nation in block shots that year. So our preparation, we would have an assistant coach, and I'm not even making this up, stand under the basket during drills and even during live play with brooms in their hand. And when our guys drove to the basket, a broom would come out of nowhere and smack it out of bounds, and our kids would be looking like we're crazy. They're like, "Coach, I just blew by my guy, and now I have a coach running on the court and blocking my shot with a broom." I said, "Yeah, that's called Hilton Armstrong. That's what he's gonna do to you." I said, "And you're not gonna see it coming, so we're preparing you for that right now." You know, and then we came up with the little phrase, the "why not us." We got t-shirts, we embraced it, and I think by the time we got to the game, you know, our players really believed. And you have to get to that first media timeout and then that second media timeout really feeling good about yourselves. And what was so special about that, we were up one at the half. The next game, I believe, was Tennessee and UAB, and it was green and orange. Half the arena was green, half, you know, a quarter of it was green, a quarter of it was orange. And by the time the second half started, the whole building was rooting for us, mm-hmm. because let's face it, the UAB one. Fans and the Tennessee fans wanted us to win, because they didn't want to play UConn either.
Yep.
You know, so, and we honestly, with 5.5 minutes to go, we were tied. And then we just ran out of gas. I mean, we really did. We were just absolutely exhausted. It took so much out of us just to get to that 5-minute mark, even ball game. And, you know, clearly the better team, the more talented team won, but we thought we were going to be the first 16 to beat a one. So, you know, it's so difficult to do. And what UMBC did a few years ago was remarkable.
Again, we're speaking with Coach Will Brown from the College of St. Rose, and kind of harkening back to the days at Albany and getting ready for the NCAAs. Coach, I got to ask you this question. So from Sunday night when the brackets come out to that first game, literally how much do you sleep? Is there any sleep?
No, not much at all. I mean, because not only are you dealing with all the video work and preparation, you have all that anxiousness and nervous energy.
Sure.
You have all the media responsibilities that you have to do, and it just goes by so quick. And I'll never forget one year we had to go to Dayton to play. So I think they announced on Sunday, and we had to play on Tuesday.
Oh, boy.
In Dayton.
Mount St. Mary's, right?
Yes, Mount St. Mary's. And that game didn't end until like 10:30 at night. We got on a plane at like 11:45 p.m. right before midnight. We had a chartered flight down to Orlando. We got into Orlando at about 3:30 in the morning. Then we had to get to our hotel. We had, I think it was less than 36 hours, and we had to play Florida, the
you
number
well,
one
Coach.
Seed. And we had that mandatory practice that day, so we had about 6 hours sleep.
Oh,
had to go do the practice, and I'll tell you what, we played terrific against Florida. It was a single digit game the entire way, and we had opportunities. We just couldn't get over the hump. So something like that, you know, you find out, you know, Sunday, you play Tuesday, you leave after that game, you're getting down. You know, talk about softening a team up for the number one seed. We played in the Orlando Magic's arena, pro Florida crowd, obviously.
Oh, sure.
But you know what? You don't complain. This is the greatest sporting event we have. And there's people that'll argue with me, Super Bowl and stuff like that. This is a month long. This isn't one day.
Yeah.
You know, this is a month long, and everybody loves March Madness because no matter where you work, there's office pools. If you're not a basketball player, I'm sorry, if you're not a basketball fan, if your college is in, you're interested.
Sure.
You know, so I think, you know, there's so many people that are engaged and embrace the NCAA tournament that, you know, it's fun. It's great to be a part of, and I think it's great to be a fan.
Coach, we do want to talk a little bit about, like, kind of what's going on in the field this year and some stuff that happens kind of every year.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of one-team leagues out there. How hard is it to win the conference, then win the conference tournament? Because if you don't, you know, you see it with a lot of these leagues. The teams go 29-3, have two losses in the league. They lose in the semis or in the finals, and there's no at-large bid, especially this year. Forget about all the teams on the bubble got knocked to double bubble. But how hard is it to do both of those things?
Yeah, no, it's very difficult. I'll say this. I heard this stat this morning. I don't know how it finished up, but I believe there were 16 number one seeds in conference tournaments that got beat and got knocked out and didn't win their tournament. When you're coming from a one-bid league, you'd like to be rewarded for your body of work, but ultimately what it comes down to is a few days to conference tournament. And again, I fully believe this. You have to play well, you have to stay healthy, and you have to have some luck on your side. And there's some matchups where some of these teams, you know what, they have nothing to lose. They'll try different things. They'll play really loose. And sometimes that number one seed from these one-bid leagues can get really tight. I'll tell you what, you have your next guest, James Jones. Mm-hmm. We've had some battles over the years coaching against each other. I watched that game today, and I want to make sure I say this. His team was unbelievable in the last 2 minutes of that game.
Oh, yeah.
And the kid that hit the two big threes late, August Mahoney, Albany Academy kid from Albany, New York. So his team, they're used to winning. They're used to being in that environment, and they were calm down the stretch. A lot of teams get really tight.
Well, you had a couple. You have to learn how to play up in Vermont at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning in order to make the NCAA tournament.
I got a lot of friends up there, a lot of friends up in Burlington, but I'll tell you what, passionate fans, they're always good. John Becker's done a great job up there, but we've won some big games in that building, meaningful games. It's an awesome basketball environment, and we were fortunate. We won two America East Conference Tournament championship games there, and the hostile environment, so it's hard to do. One of my former players and former assistants, John Yachty, is an assistant at UMass Lowell. They went up there yesterday, played great for 30 minutes, and just, you know, Vermont just hung around and then really kicked it into gear the last 10 minutes of the game and were able to beat Lowell. So, yeah.
Give them any shot?
I can talk about March Madness forever. It's a great time of year.
So, upsets, you give them any shot to beat Duke?
Well, I want to say again, I love Vermont fans, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for UVM basketball, but no.
Okay. And in your house,
I'm going to keep it real simple.
That's fine. So you're a UNC household, right?
And oh, it kills me, yes.
So you're watching.
Minus me.
Yep. You're watching the NC State. Did you happen to watch the NC State game against Virginia the other night?
Yes. Virginia missed some free throws. Yep. What, NC State banked in a three?
Yep.
I mean, everything that could go wrong for Virginia went wrong for Virginia.
And they had a foul to give, Coach.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the time, score, and situation is so crucial, you know, this time of year, especially when it's win or go home, whether it's conference tournaments or NCAA tournaments. You know, it's like, do you foul up three late game? You know, all these things have to be practiced. And, you know, you have a foul to give. I'm sure they're thinking about that right now.
Yeah. Anything come up to you when you take a look at the bracket this year? I don't know how much you took a glance at it, as to maybe a couple of upsets or a team that you think might do really well.
Well, I'll tell you what, teams that I think nobody wants to play right now, a six seed BYU, they average 82 points a game. I think they've made the most threes in the tournament. You know, I think they're dangerous. I think UConn has the toughest draw You look at the Sweet 16 matchup with Auburn, who plays a crazy style of basketball. Yeah, I think that could be a tough one. I really like Baylor. I don't think too many people are talking about Baylor. Big Gonzaga fan, always have been. I think people are sleeping on the Zags. I think they get by McNeese State, and I think they beat a banged-up Kansas team, and I think they'll match up with Purdue in Sweet 16, and I think that's a coin flip game right there. I think Houston, I don't see Houston advancing. Love Marquette, to be honest with you, but I'm a little different. I got a Final Four of UConn, Baylor, Marquette in Tennessee, and I got UConn beating Tennessee in the national title game. You know, one of the teams that really looked good in the conference tournament was in the Big Ten, Illinois. Mm-hmm. If they guard at all, they're going to be a tough out. One of the more entertaining teams to watch is New Mexico. Rick Pitino's son, they got three guards that can really create off the dribble and two front court guys that really rebound the basketball. But, you know, I'm not one of those big upset guys. I love the 8-9 games. I think those are some great matchups when you look at, Texas A&M and Nebraska. I think that's going to be a terrific game. And then there was Michigan State. Was playing
Mississippi State.
I think that's a really, really good game. Now, and I think one team that's being undervalued too. I watch the West Coast games all the time. Mm-hmm. Is a great matchup stylistically in the second round could be St. Mary's and Alabama.
Okay, yeah, Alabama's defense is horrendous this year.
But they can, they can put up 100, and St. Mary's is going to take the air out of the basketball. Styles make matchups. That's the key, and that's where you really got to look at what styles, can cause problems for certain teams. Like Kentucky's awesome offensively, but they don't guard. Their backcourt is awesome. If Pitino plays his best players, his two best players come off the bench, Reed Shepard and Dillingham. That backcourt is unbelievable, but they both come off the bench.
Yeah, it's like you said, the matchups, it's really the contrast in styles at this time of year really makes for amazing basketball, and it's very, very entertaining.
Well, how about FAU? We went to the Final Four last year. If they get by Northwestern, they've got eight of their top nine back from last year, and that's who UConn would get in the second round. And San Diego State is in the same bracket. They were in the Final Four last year.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Three teams in the Final Four, all in the same area, and a couple of them playing in Brooklyn.
And then again, we talked about how good Illinois was playing, and BYU, all in the same bracket, you know, as UConn. I don't trust Purdue because I think they're going to have a game where they really struggled to make shots, kind of like last year. I'm going to watch every game. I mean, I love this time of year, and there's definitely going to be some upsets. But when, like, NC State as an 11 seed, I don't know if they can keep it going. Five wins in 5 days, and mm-hmm. Now they take a deep breath, and they got to play Texas Tech. I don't know. I'm also really excited that we have the women's regional in Albany, and Caitlin Clark's going to be there as long as they get to the Sweet 16, we could potentially have South Carolina, Caitlin Clark, and LSU in the Albany regional.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Coach. The Caitlin Clark situation, I think, is really good for women's basketball, just as much as you helped out St. Rose this past year. So we appreciate all that you've done and the time that you gave us tonight.
Yeah, really fantastic stuff, Coach. And again, we can't overstate it, enough. Many people are called Coach. You are really a coach, and you're being more than a coach right now for those young women at St. Rose. And we can't thank you enough on that for our profession, and, all the best going forward.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and please do me a favor and tell James Jones I said hello, and hopefully we can connect in the future moving forward.
Yeah, it'd be great, and hopefully you land on your feet somewhere too, because I think college basketball is missing you if you're not there.
Well, I appreciate that, guys, and keep doing what you're doing and enjoy the NCAA tournament.
Thanks so much. Coach Will Brown, College of St. Rose. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Coach James Jones, who's going to the big dance here on Sports Talk New York.
Listening to Sports Talk New York. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on Long Island's WGBB. Broadcasting on 95.9 FM and 1240 AM. Or listen live online at WGBBRadio.com. Stay connected to Sports Talk New York on WGBB by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WGBB Sports Talk. You're listening to Sports Talk New York on Long Island's WGBB. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back to the second half of our show tonight. And we are thrilled to be joined by Coach James Jones, head coach at Yale, and had an amazing buzzer beater today. Coach, welcome to the program. You got Chris and Mike here. And you must still be on cloud nine.
Chris and Mike, great to be on with you guys. And, yeah, I'm still feeling pretty good right now. It's going to be hard to come down. It's going to be hard to go to sleep tonight.
Absolutely. You know, who can blame you? So this is Mike Guidon, and Chris Caputo is my co-host. And we just had Coach Will Brown on, and he sends his best to you and harken back to a lot of games that he played against you and many great matchups, and can't say enough about the job you do.
Yeah, really good guy, Will Brown, and a better coach. Actually, a better person, but he's a great coach.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we had some battles back in the day.
So, you know, obviously we're thrilled to have you on for many reasons, but your Long Island connection, you know, we're a Long Island-based show, and, you know, you being in your 25th season at Yale, you know, just we don't want to take too much of your time, but just, you know, if you can, just tell us what it's like being up there for 25 years and your Long Island connection and, you know, what it's like to get your team back into the big dance.
Well, you know, again, as you can imagine, you know, being in the same place for 25 years, it just flew by. Like, if you would have told me, you know, 25 years ago, I'd still be at Yale and working, I would have, you know, thought you were nuts. nobody stays in a job coaching basketball for 25 years at the same place, right? They're like,
absolutely.
You know, three of us in the country, like Mark Few and my man at Oakland, that's about it.
Yeah.
In any event, it's been a great ride. It's great to be connected with Long Island. It is a great story for you. My fifth grade teacher, Pamela Katz, reached out to me in an email 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and told me that I was her favorite student of all time, and she happened to be my favorite teacher, and we reconnected. And since she lived in Long Island, she's been able to come to Yale for games. Down when we play Stony Brook, she comes to the games, and it's just been a real good connection. And my 10th grade English teacher, Richard Hogan, he reached out as well. He came to a game at Yale with his grandson. So being so close to Long Island and still having connection there, my brother still lives in Long Island near where we grew up. So it's nice to be so close.
So, Coach, it's good to have you on. We just kind of were looking it up. So your first-round matchup is going to be against Auburn. Looks like they announced it to be 4:15 Eastern time on Friday. So another thing to look forward to. But I want to start with the excitement of the last 2 days. So you guys get into the four-team tournament that they have at a neutral site, and you win the semifinal game after the number one seed loses to the four seed for the first time in the 6 years of this little tournament. And then today you're down by about 6 points with 30 seconds to go, and you score 7 points in the last 30 seconds. Can you kind of explain how that worked today?
No one can explain that. Yeah, that's impossible.
Oh, yeah, Irish? It's the luck of the Irish on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I'm not Irish, though, so I don't know.
Everybody's Irish today, Coach. That's all right.
Is that how it works?
Absolutely.
Well, I got a little green luck there.
Well, I'll tell you, no, there was no luck involved with what you did. You had your team prepared.
Well, there's a lot of perseverance, and, you know, we lost the game when we were up by 5 with 6 seconds to go to Vermont or something like that. So
I remember that. They called an offensive foul, and they wound up hitting a shot. I do remember that.
Yeah. There was some officiating that, you know, there was a little questionable. But it's a never say die attitude that you have if you want to be successful. And it's something that, a lesson that you teach your kids. And, you know, I've been at Yale for 25 years. When I first got the job, you know, we were not very good. And we would always be in the top half of the league. We finished in the top half of the league every year except for my first year for, you know, 24 straight years. And from there, you know, but we were never the best team for so long. And I really wanted a tournament. And now we're one of the best teams, so I don't like the tournament as much.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, I would never, ever take away this opportunity to experience what my guys experienced in these 2 days. We've won the tournament 3 times. We've had it 6 times. We've been in the championship all but 1 year. We've made it all 6 times. We're the only team that have made it each time. And, again, we've been in the championship every year except for one. And that experience of winning this game is nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, so, again, I was kind of going to ask you a little bit about that tournament, what you, you know, your thoughts on kind of where it is. But I think you mentioned that a little bit. I think it's, you know, these time situations where it used to be whoever was the number one seed would get it, or maybe they would have a, you know, two teams battle it out halfway in between. Are you okay with where it's at now, where it's four teams, or would you rather it go back to just let whoever's the conference champion be the team going?
No, as I said, I like the tournament. I think it's great. I would love all 8 teams to be in it, but I also believe that having to qualify for it to be one of the top 4 teams makes the regular season quite meaningful. And I think that you kind of get a reward at the end of the year to make the tournament. So I do like that quite a bit. But again, my brother and the league that don't experience the tournament atmosphere, I feel for them, because again, it's nothing short of amazing to have this tournament for 2 days, to play these games and have so much on the line. And then when you actually reach your goal and you cut down the nets, again, it's something that you'll never forget. It's a shared experience that my guys will have for the rest of their lives.
Again, we're joined by Coach James Jones of Yale, has his team dancing. So, Coach, I just wanted to ask you real quick, if I'm right, the last time you guys made the tournament was the COVID year. Is that correct?
No, sir. We made it in 2022.
Okay. So,
I'm sorry, 2022 we made it.
Okay.
We made it in 2020. We made it in 2019. We made it in 2016.
Okay.
2020, they didn't have the tournament, but we were set to go until it was canceled.
Right. So coming back from that year now and being able to experience, you know, getting back to the tournament has to be, again, very rewarding on many levels.
Oh, no question. I mean, anytime you go to an NCAA tournament, it's like if anybody who's ever played college basketball is what you dream about.
Sure.
It's what you fight for. You know, last year, you know, we were the number one seed in the tournament, and we lost in the final game to Princeton that went on to win to go to Sweet 16. Now, I'll tell you this. The year prior to that, we beat Princeton in the finals. And I thought Princeton had a better team than we did, but we were the ones that went to the final and we played Purdue. Last year, I thought we were the better team than Princeton, but they won the game and they went to the NCAA tournament and they went to the Sweet 16. So
sure.
It just tells you how good our conference is and what we're capable to do. Because in my opinion, our second best team went to the NCAA tournament and they went to the Sweet 16.
Let's talk a little bit about your team. You start 3 lefties, and you also have a 7-footer. Explain how maybe teams have to adjust to your style before we talk about your first-round matchup.
Well, the 7-footer that we have is quite exceptional. He's got, you know, feet like a ballerina, really quick and agile, and has moves as a guard. He grew late in life, so he has all the guard skills, and he moves like a guard. And, you know, we have some really good shooters that we put around him. My starting 5 is tremendous. They all average double figures, all really good players. And when we play together and we share the ball, we're very difficult to beat. And it would be interesting to play Auburn. It's going to put a lot of pressure on us. And we've had some teams in our league that have done the same. And, you know, we played Kansas and Gonzaga non-conference. So we'll be ready, but it certainly won't be easy to get a victory on Friday.
So it looks like they're the top block percentage team in the nation. So do you think that means you're going to be trying to shoot more threes? Because they also, they foul probably more than any team in the nation. I believe about 27% of their possessions, they foul. So obviously toughness will be an issue there too.
Yeah, we have a lot of toughness on this team, which is really good. And to be honest with you, I haven't watched one second of Auburn yet. I saw them on TV a couple times, but I haven't broken them down. So after I get off the phone with you tonight, I'm going to spend some time watching film. And tomorrow we have like a yoga day and a shooting day because we had the two games in a row. So that's all we'll do. And we'll practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll have a game plan by then.
So, Coach, just one last question before we let you go. We appreciate all the time you're giving us tonight because I know you got a lot to do here in the next couple of days. Outside of Auburn, I know you give the scout for the next round to one of your assistants, and they're in charge of that. Truthfully, as a coach, do you look at all towards that next game, or is it pretty much you're just focused in on this one, and then hopefully you get to that next one, and then that the minute you're kind of off the court, you're thinking about that next game?
Yeah, it's one at a time. I mean, I don't know. Like, so I'll digest, probably a half dozen to eight games of Auburn before we in practice on Thursday. And, I'll have a pretty good idea by then. And then if I have some time, I may watch a game or two, but we don't even know who we're going to play. So, some of the film you're going to watch is going to be a waste of time.
Right.
I have a tremendous staff. They're going to digest the stuff. They'll give me information once that game's over, and then I'll end up watching three or four of those games before we play them on Sunday. So if in fact we're lucky enough to win and we do what we're capable of doing.
Again, we're talking with James Jones. Yale coach pulled off a 62-61 victory today, puts them in the NCAA tournament. They're going to be heading out to Spokane on Friday, playing at Eastern Time, 4:15. You can find that game on TNT. Coach, a little bit outside the situation, but five of your assistant coaches have gone on to get head coaching jobs. One of them is Rob Senderoff, who is coaching Kent State, and I'm pretty sure you saw they were up by one, and one of their players fouled, and they wound up losing the game by one and missed the NCAA tournament. Do you still talk to him, and what do you say to a coach like that in a spot like that? How do you kind of console somebody who was that close to the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I watched the game. I was up watching film of our game from Cornell, and I had it on in the background with sound, so I was able to see that last possession. And I just feel for Rob because, they had the game. Well, it wasn't over. They scored a basket to go up by one with about 4 seconds to go, and one of the kids on the team just didn't know time to score, and he ended up fouling. And, Rob was obviously beside himself, and, I just texted him, it's just a brutal loss. A real loss, but he coached his tail off and just let him know that, and he just said he had no words. So, I love Rob, but he might be the most pessimistic person on the planet. The glass isn't half full. That son of a gun is empty when he starts to talk. But he does a great job, and his team, his program hasn't had a losing season in 26 straight years. And they were in jeopardy of doing that, and they caught fire to the end of the year. He's had injuries upon injuries, and they were able to pull it out and do a really good job this year. So I actually went to his NCAA game last year at Albany. Got a chance to watch him play Indiana. So we're really good friends, and I feel for him. But he'll be back, and Kent State will be better next year.
Coach, can you pull any magic like you did in 2016? Can you use anything from that Baylor game when you guys won to help you in this year's game?
Not unless we're going to bring back Mekhi Mason and Justin Sears. For me, as experience and what it seems like and what it is, I got some experience from that, but none of the players have. I may throw up some clips from that just to energize our guys and let them know that anything can be done. But, last year Princeton went on, they went all the way to Sweet 16. They beat Arizona in the first round.
Right.
So, this is a tough matchup against us, and, style of play, we haven't had great matchups. We played Purdue with the Giants and Edie, and he's just a matchup nightmare for us, and we didn't have the quickness to guard on the perimeter like St. Peter's did. In any event, I'm looking forward to this. My guys are looking forward to this, and we're going to go out and give it our best shot and give it all we have and hopefully come out victorious.
Well, Coach, you're a great representative of Long Island. You're even a better representative of the coaching community. And to give us your time tonight when we know you got a lot going on, we can't thank you enough. We wish you all the best. Pull those upset specials, and we'll be cheering for you.
Thank you so much. You guys be good and have a good run here watching these games.
Oh, can't wait. Definitely.
Appreciate it.
Again, Coach James Jones, 25th year at Yale. Wishing him all the best as they go on to take on Auburn University on Friday afternoon, 4:15 start. And I'll tell you, Cap, we have been blessed tonight to be joined by two just outstanding, classy guys.
It's been great. I mean, honestly, you just try to reach out and see if you can get people, and eventually, you know, James was really great. Just the night before his conference championship game at midnight, he's emailing me saying, I'm coming on the show.
Yeah.
And at 6 in the morning, he says, I'll come on at 9:30.
Unbelievable.
So, like, I've had these situations. I'll say this straight out. Jay Wright, when he was at Villanova, you know, I would just every once in a while get tickets he would leave for us. The morning of the national championship game where Jenkins hits the three-pointer, he texted me at 5 o'clock in the morning, or he sent me an email at 5 o'clock in the morning, responding to an email that I sent, hey, nice win in the semis. And then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is what, 5 hours before game time, sends me another response back. So some of these guys out there, they just get it.
Yeah.
And for him to give us 15, 20 minutes tonight of his time.
That's unbelievable.
It's great.
Yeah.
And that this is what the tournament is about. Teams like Yale, you know, teams going out there, a team like McNeese State. These kids are excited. They want to play. I texted you, I thought they were done.
Yeah.
They're down 6 with 22 seconds to go. This kid comes down, hits a 3-1, and boom, here we are having a conversation with him about making the NCAAs. And he would have come on the show tonight.
I'm sure he would have.
If they would have lost by one.
Yeah. You know, and I kind of made light of the fact about luck. But, I mean, truthfully, when you're down 6, yeah, I mean, certainly it helped that the other team missed a couple of free throws. But, no, I mean, they had to execute the perfect game plan in those 20 seconds to be able to win that, and with no timeouts.
Yeah,
I mean, are you kidding?
He really coached his butt off down the stretch, set up some great plays. Kids hit big shots for them, I will say that. The other team had to miss some foul shots. But, man, those kids executed, and that's where you have to be prepared down the stretch. Like, you got to know as a coach, we're going to be in this situation. One of the things I was going to ask him about, he really only plays 5 players.
Yeah.
So I think if you're in a foul matchup, you know, he's going to have to start playing some kids that maybe have never played before. So that could be a situation where maybe those games get out of hand. But they played at Kansas this year. They played Gonzaga this year. So they've been battle-tested, both games 15-point games. You know, they played at Vermont. So they've had some games. So maybe they go out there and they do something. But as you said, great to get these guys on. And, you know, some other coaches had said to me maybe they'd come on and then they lost and you lose them. But tonight was a pretty good time.
Yeah,
talking that up,
which is understandable. But I mean, I think you're 1,000% right. Had Yale lost today, I've never met the man, but people that know him tell me he's as good as gold. And you heard it here tonight. You know, and you're not a Division I coach anywhere, and have been there for 25 years without being number one, a class act, but also tremendous basketball guy.
Yep. And his brother used to coach at Columbia, so they had to play against each other. And now is the coach at BU, at Boston University.
Yeah.
So the coaching runs in the bloodlines. But good coach. And, again, keep your eyes open for that on Friday. The schedule did come out. So, you know, Thursday games start at 12:15 and went all the way through the night. And then obviously you'll see some games on Tuesday and Wednesday, playing games. It seems like, Mike, every year one of those teams that wins those 10, 11, and this year they're 10 seeds. They didn't make them 11 or 12 seeds. They're 10 seeds that are playing in the play-in games. One of those teams makes it to the Sweet 16 for the last, like, 5 years.
Sure.
So Colorado State, Virginia, or Colorado and Boise State, one of those teams is probably going to make a run. So I think that's one of the interesting things that I look for. And then, you know, it gets going on Thursday with Michigan State, Mississippi State, and some other games throughout. Obviously, you have Brooklyn on Friday. You're going to get Northwestern, Florida Atlantic right away, which I think is going to be a great game.
Absolutely.
Northwestern's hurting a little bit. Kid from upstate New York, Boo Booey, is a pretty good player for them, has kept them going. But Florida Atlantic, I think, is better than they were last year. I know they're an 8 seed, but they played in a tougher division this year. They moved from Conference USA to the AAC, and I think they play tougher teams. I think Florida Atlantic's better, and I think they will give UConn a run for their money in the second round.
So quickly, just to kind of rewind back to the New York situation, St. John's, they get snubbed today.
Mm-hmm.
They went on a run late in the season, you know, made it to the championship game. to the semifinal game.
Yep.
Played very well. Of course, they're disappointed.
They said no to the NIT.
That was going to be my question. So
they know that until now.
Yeah. So the NIT, you know, for those of you out there, if you're not familiar, the NCAA tournament is kind of the big dance, and then the NIT is an important tournament. It's for those teams kind of right on the bubble or didn't make it the next grouping. And while it doesn't have the panache that the NCAA tournament does, really 50 years ago it was actually the more important tournament. So yes, St. John's decides to decline the invitation. What do you think of that?
I don't know. I'd have to understand why. You know, I guess
Patino, I don't understand why.
I'm guessing Patino's probably just like, okay, we didn't make the tournament, and most of these guys are going to be gone at the end of this year. He's going to bring in new people. So what am I preparing them for? It's not like I'm taking a sophomore and trying to get a B better junior year. He's going to clean house again, and he's going to start over. So,
but this is a guy, Cap, that proclaims he does not like the way college basketball is going right now. And you can't have it both ways. I mean, yeah, it stinks that you didn't make the NCAA tournament. But if you're all about college basketball and he doesn't like the way it is right now and he wants to get, you know, try to get it back as best as you can, go to the NIT and give these guys, you know, at least a little something, because you're right. Hardly anybody's going to be back. Yeah, it's kind of an immature move, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested. I might have to take a look to see why he said that.
Give him a call. I'm sure he'll answer.
That was one I did go for, but his people didn't respond back.
Well, listen, he grew up in Bayville next to my hometown of Locust Valley. I'm sure if I ever got a chance to speak to him, he would not be all that impressed with
that. St. Joe's, Seton Hall, North Texas, LSU, BC, Providence, UNLV, and Princeton,
right,
which, you know, a lot of these – Appalachian State, Wake Forest, Xavier, Georgia, Richmond, Virginia Tech, Cornell, Ohio State, who has
quality teams. Who just
SMU,
their coach took over mid-season, just got a 5-year extension. God bless
Indiana
him.
State went.
Yeah.
They were a bubble team. Minnesota, Butler, Loyola, Chicago, Bradley, Cincinnati, San Francisco.
Yeah, sour grapes.
Villanova's going.
Great.
So.
Which is probably, I know the Villanova fans are getting a little anxious with what's going on there, but come on, guys.
They get some home games. They get to watch their kids play a little bit.
Why not?
I think that's good. I think this was, honestly, a lot of it came about because different leagues that, like the 7 seed won.
Sure.
And the 1 seed didn't. Now all of a sudden you have teams getting in that weren't supposed to win. And so 4 or 5 teams got knocked out, including New Mexico getting in, which is Patino's son, which kind of put Patino out. But again, they said that St. John's wasn't even one of the first 4 out. They were in like, you know, 6-7 spot. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd be interested to see why. But it says here, we have great respect. After thorough consideration, we believe at this time it is best for our team to prepare for next season.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. And I don't know if I'm sure this thought has crossed your mind in the last 30 seconds. We had Matt Brust on last week, okay, who won the NIT with St. John's in his last season. I would be really interested to see what Matt has to say about them not taking this bid. And maybe he'll surprise me and say, you know what, I understand. It's a different time. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are down on that situation. You know, St. John's, for what it's worth, what Patino did got his team to win 6 games. But I don't know if, like, they did anything great. They were going to win most of those games anyway. Right. And I think it just – people got excited. They played well.
Yeah.
They played well against UConn. They weren't going to win the game, but they played well. But I don't think it's all, you know, roses over there. I think, they're trying to build new facilities. But St. John's getting snubbed, I think it's a taste of the reality.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting here in the New York area. I mean, you know, the big – when he was hired, everybody was very excited, and rightfully so. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He was really the only guy out there at the moment who would generate that kind of interest. He proclaims that he's got the energy at his age, and you can't fault that. I almost think, though, that he kind of knew that they were in a good situation a couple weeks ago and were going to go on maybe this little mini run, and he was trying to – he's a smart dude. I mean, he was trying to build up the kind of ball rolling towards them getting an at-large. And unfortunately, it didn't happen, you know, for the fans as well as the players. But I'm very interested to see what's going to happen next year with, again, now with a full year to recruit. his players.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens.
Yep, we'll see. And that's going to be the offseason. But it's getting crazy, Mike, because I think with the NILs, there's going to be so much more moving. And until the NCAA steps in and says you can only transfer once without having to sit out a year or whatever, these guys are just going to keep moving and moving and moving. And some of these guys will stay in college if they're a borderline NBA player, because you're going to get paid more to stay than you will to go. So it should be interesting to see. I'm excited for some of these games coming up.
Yeah, what's the one or two games on your radar that are must-sees coming in?
It's very strange, but I do want to see some of these other teams. I'm interested to see Samford play Kansas, because Kansas is hurting right now.
Really,
they have a lot of guys
that are
hurting. I do want to see Drake and Washington State. They can both score points. Even though he talked about St. Mary's, I like Grand Canyon. At one time, Dan Marley was the coach there.
Right.
I like them.
I think Bryce Drew is the coach there now.
Okay.
I believe so. And he's done an amazing job at a school that probably most people haven't heard of.
Yeah. So, I think some of those games will be good. I think Creighton has a chance to make a run. If they get hot, I would look for them to kind of make a run. I love how the NCAA always tries to set this stuff up. Possible second round matchup of Tennessee and Texas, which is Rick Barnes playing against his old team. They do that stuff all the time, and then they say
they think they're cute.
Yeah,
yeah, and then they say, "Oh no, we didn't make it like that."
No.
Well, the one game just before we wrap up here that
what do you like?
You had kind of mentioned it. I think Virginia, Colorado State in that first four.
I like those games.
I think Colorado State is a solid team, and I love Tony Bennett as a coach at Virginia. I mean, they've had the highs of highs and the lows of lows, and he just kind of keeps it going. I think that's going to be a great game. Again, from a local standpoint, though, we had him on and we said a lot about him tonight. Yale, but I think that Samford Kansas game, absolutely, that's going to be interesting.
The one team I'm interested to see this year, totally, is Purdue. After losing in the first round last year.
It might be their year.
And the year before, they lost in the second round. They didn't do too well. But it was a lot of fun tonight, Mike.
Absolutely. This is what it's all about. It's March Madness. We had the New York flavor on with two Long Island coaches. Enjoyed it all. Thanks to Brian Graves. Thanks to Will Brown, James Jones, and Cap Twiskaputa, as always. Have a great couple of weeks, guys. We'll see you in a few. And remember, it's all about the madness.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.